His grace in me hath not been void. Words, my friends in Christ, taken from the epistle for today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Our holy Catholic religion is often referred to as an incarnational religion. That is to say, in the Catholic faith, material things are used to draw us to the contemplation of spiritual truths. You think about the different elements of how our faith is practiced, and that point hits home. One of the ways that the Church does this is through sacred art and through sacred images. Hence, the Catholic Church is full of statues, of wall frescoes, of paintings, and so on, representing our Lord, our Lady, and the saints. And the purpose of these images is to draw our minds to the contemplation of heavenly truth, the heavenly truths that each one of these represent. A good piece of art, a good piece of church art, will give us a moment to contemplate some spiritual truth. We see this especially in those pieces of church art that reflect some dramatic moment in the Old Testament or in the New Testament, especially in the Holy Gospels. Now, St. Paul, at the end of today's epistle, alludes to an event in his life which has been represented countless times in sacred art. And that is his conversion on the road to Damascus. We remember the dramatic scene there. St. Paul, who had been the persecutor of the church, who had been present at the martyrdom of the first martyr, St. Stephen, St. Paul was on his way to Damascus to further persecute the followers of our blessed Lord. And then suddenly there's this dramatic scene that occurs. St. Paul is knocked off his horse, and he has a vision of our blessed Lord. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he has a moment of decision there. Our Lord grants him a moment of grace, and St. Paul has to decide. And so countless artists have portrayed this dramatic event when St. Paul is offered grace of conversion. St. Paul says in today's epistle, his grace in me hath not been void. And all of his sanctity, as it were, follows his correspondence with the single grace that he receives. The subject of how we react or how we correspond to grace is part of the essence of growth in the spiritual life for us. God offers the graces, we have to correspond with them. Correspondence with grace is, and it implies this, that we accept the graces that God may bestow upon us. Not only that, we have a habitual attitude, a habit of waiting for grace. And we pray to God that we might use the graces he gives us rightly. Every day, we renew that intention. And once we've received a grace, we try to persevere in it, no matter what difficulties we face. This is absolutely necessary for all of us if we wish to obtain heaven. St. Augustine says the following, God made us without ourselves, but he will not save us without ourselves. You're given the grace, you have to correspond to it. This should be a stimulating source for prayer. And it draws down upon us a number of additional graces. We could say it's almost like a chain, that one link in the chain is linked to another. And this is the chain, we hope, of our final perseverance. Our correspondence to grace has to have three qualities, spiritual writers tell us. It has to be prompt and without hesitation. Once we know the movement to be grace, where we're drawn to do something virtuous, we're drawn to do something good, we're drawn to turn away from a sin. And it has to be brave, and it has to be persevering. We gladly believe even in the impossible, with diffidence of self and full trust in God. But this perseverance is so absolutely necessary, because sometimes there is an unforeseeable obstacle. But once we've received the grace, we should pursue it. So, for instance, the grace to repent, to go to the sacrament of penance. Now, we receive that grace. It may be something that's difficult for us to do, difficult for us to arrange somehow, but once we receive the grace, we should persevere. We should persevere no matter what. So it has to be prompt, it has to be brave, and it has to be humble. That our own will must disappear before the will of God. We must be less attached to our work than to Him for whom we do it. Otherwise, the grace may be lost. And it must be humble in the sense that we must not rest on our graces as upon laurels, but they are a means to an end. A means to an end. So that's correspondence with grace. The other side of the coin is a neglect of grace. Saints speak of this as a secret reserve of the wrath of God, because He offers us something and we realize it and we turn away the gift. And this is a witness against us at the last judgment. It prevents other graces from reaching us that were intended for us. And it furnishes food to the old habits of sin. It chills our fervor. It turns it into lukewarmness. It hardens the heart, and it intercepts the grace of final perseverance. So correspond or neglect the grace. That's our choice. When we look in Holy Scripture, we see examples of promptness and correspondence with grace. The little child Samuel in the temple, who answers the call of the Lord. Here I am, Lord, send me. Or the shepherds going to the crib. They listen to the call of grace and saw our blessed Lord. And the Magi listened to the call of grace as well. Not only that, but they persevered through a long and difficult and dangerous journey. Or the good thief next to our Lord on the cross. Or our example today, St. Paul. Correspondence with grace. On the other hand, there are plenty of examples in the Old Testament of the abuse of grace and its consequences. To Pharaoh and the plagues, all of the warnings that Pharaoh had. Or the Pharisees. Time and time again, graces were offered to them. They refused to accept them in their pride. They ignored the miracles of our blessed Lord. Or the rich young man who had many things, who turned away from our Lord. Or the impenitent thief who received the same mercies as the good thief did, but he turned away. Two examples in art I will give you today, which represent correspondence with grace and the neglect of grace. And they both reflect incidents in the New Testament. First, there is St. Matthew. St. Matthew was a tax collector. He was a publican. He was a stooge. He was a cooperator with the Romans who were oppressing the Jewish people. So he collected taxes from them, and he took his cut. He took his part as a reward for his betrayal. In the great painting by the Italian artist Caravaggio, we see the call of St. Matthew. Have a representation of that painting in the vestibule of the church. And the scene in the place where the tax is collected is a very dark scene. And from one side, you see our Lord in his hand and the light coming in. And there are men gathered around the table. And the experts in art tell us that the man who is seated in the toll booth and who is dressed as a dandy, dressed in a very fashionable way, and looking down at the money, that indeed is St. Matthew. And you see him, he's concentrating, he's down like this, looking at his reward. Nevertheless, our Lord said to him, "Follow me," and he did. He corresponded with a grace. On the other hand, there is the abuse and the neglect of grace, and I have a little representation of that out in the vestibule as well. It is a very nice little sculpture of the Last Supper, and our Lord has just announced that one of you will betray me, and so the apostles are in a tumult, all save one who's on the side. And he, like St. Matthew in the painting by Caravaggio, is down like this. He knows what he has done. And that is Judas. And his moment of grace comes in the garden later, where he comes having betrayed our Lord, and our Lord says to him, "Amici ad quid venisti?" Friend, for what purpose hast thou come? And see, even at that point, our Lord was offering Judas grace. He turned his back on it. Thus, correspondence with grace and its rejection. Learn from both of these sets of examples to value the graces that you receive from Almighty God. Resolve now to profit by those you receive. One grace contains another and tends to bring us to still another, just as the acorn truly contains and produces the oak. One grace rejected may mean the ruin of perseverance. But every grace accepted means increased reward hereafter. One writer says, grace is glory begun, and glory is grace consummated. Grace is the glory in the bud, and glory is the grace in the fruit. Grace is the lowest degree of glory, and glory is the highest degree of grace. Pray today to correspond to the graces that God sends you. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.